Okay, so we are going to finish the Lord's Prayer, the teaching part of it today, the last half of Matthew 6:13. And I said last week, if you were here, this may be one petition or it may be two. I'm not sure. Let me just read it again. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And whether or not that's one or two, they're so closely associated with each other that I definitely wanted to kind of quickly, in a couple of sentences, review what we talked about last week as it leads us into what we're going to talk about this morning. We looked at that first part of verse 13, do not bring us into temptation. And we actually said that a really good translation of that is do not let us yield to temptation. It's really a plea. It's like, Father, please spare us from any unnecessary temptation and sin. It's the idea that if we don't give in to temptation, that we won't give in to sin. Okay? It's like a barrier to protect us from sin, certainly, is so we won't even yield to temptation. And you might think, and you'd be right to say, that temptation is inevitable in this life. Because of what we're going to talk about today, we battle an enemy. And because we battle an enemy, there's going to be times of temptation, testing, trial in our lives. But that doesn't mean we need to go looking for it either. And that's kind of what we talked about last week. Today, we're going to kind of follow up on that. And I think you'll see how these two things go together. And we're going to be talking about this morning about this idea of deliverance from evil. And just a little quick word on the notes. If you have the notes, or if you're looking at those, if you want to get them, pastorwillsbiblechurch.com, you can look at them. And just one little quick word. I have a typo there, and it's probably not a big deal to you, but just I think the title of that sermon on the sermon note says Daily Dependence. That was my fault. It should say Daily Deliverance, because that's what we're going to talk about today, Daily Deliverance. And just like we pray for our daily bread, we need to be sustained daily with food and sustenance. Just like we pray we need daily forgiveness, we've talked about that a couple weeks ago, we also need daily deliverance. And that's what we're looking at today. The devil, called here the evil one, is behind every sin and temptation and pitfall. And before you say, well, you know, isn't God certainly in control behind the scenes, isn't he? And sometimes in front of the scenes, and that's true. And I said last week that it's very complicated to understand how those two things go together. And I still hold to that. It's very difficult. But I want to just say this, that when we become aware of the enemy, the evil one at work, and we see his evil hand at work in temptation and sin, it will help us to not yield, not to give in to those things, and then also to avoid it. Some of us learned this verse, do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Okay, so some of us learned it that way. Not, as I just read a minute ago, deliver us from the evil one. Either, without getting into too much detail on this, either one of those translations is completely acceptable. Whether you want to say deliver us from evil, or whether you want to say deliver us from the evil one, both are completely accurate. In fact, it's a very common word in the New Testament, and the word evil, and that word is translated both ways multiple times, and we have no time to look at all of them. There's dozens and dozens translated both ways. So how does Jesus mean it here? Does he mean deliver us from evil? Does he mean deliver us from the evil one? I would say yes, both. I tend to gravitate towards deliver us from the evil one simply because it helps me to understand that there is an enemy behind the evil that is being caused in this world. It helps me as I pray to come against something specific, and that's the enemy himself rather than just generally come against evil itself. But make no mistake, the two work together. The evil one is the one causing the evil. So whichever way you feel comfortable praying, maybe both, probably both, would be fine. And if you want to talk more about that, I'd love to talk. I'd love to get a little bit geeky and talk about the why I think that. It's a fun discussion, but we just won't take time for it today. So just trust me for now, and we'll talk later if you want. So whether we're praying against the devil himself or whether we're praying against the evil that he brings into our world and culture, we need to understand one very, very, very important thing, and that is ultimately God is in control. I was really debating this week how much to go into this because I don't want to give the devil too much airtime. You know what I mean? I don't want to like promote the devil and say, hey, we're going to just focus on the devil today, and that's not what I want to do. Although, what I do want to do is bring an awareness to us as believers about the evil one. Because he would like nothing better than for us just to ignore him, right? He would love nothing better. It's like if we would just ignore him and leave him alone, then he can work and just hammer on us. So I think it's very important for us to at least acknowledge that the evil one is at work and how he's at work. And then, more importantly than that, we're going to look at how we can be delivered, as Jesus is asking us to pray, deliver us from evil. So that's where we're headed this morning. Satan is not all-powerful. Satan is a created being. He is an angel who is evil, who has fallen away from the presence of God. God is in control over all of his creation, and certainly including the devil. But the reason we pray for daily deliverance from evil, we pray for daily deliverance from the evil one, is because God is greater than the devil, and therefore we can have victory. Because if we couldn't have victory, why would Jesus teach us to pray, deliver us from evil? But we can have victory, and there is victory, and we're going to see that as we move along this morning. Four things I want to talk about, and I'll just say this, that this is an important thing we're going to talk about today, and it may take a little time for us today. Just going into it, know that we're gonna talk. I think this is an important topic, so I want to take some time on this here. But here's the four things that I want to focus on this morning as we go through this. Number one, evil does exist, and we'll look at that. Number two, the evil one is active. It's active. He's active. Number three, deliverance from this evil can be ours. It's possible to be delivered. Otherwise, why would Jesus be teaching us to pray about it? Duh. Okay, and then four is how we get delivered from this evil. And there's a variety of ways, but the one we'll focus it on today is just generally speaking called spiritual warfare. And we're going to quickly look at what that means, although that's a huge topic that we can't exhaust today. Okay, so first of all, if you want to follow along in the notes or just if it helps you to think about it like this, Jesus telling us to pray, deliver us from the evil one, Jesus has acknowledged the existence of evil and the evil one. And we know that because last week we talked about just shortly before he preached this sermon, he himself was tempted by the devil, right? He went out to the wilderness and he spent that time out there fasting, and then he was tempted by the devil. So Jesus doesn't come from some arbitrary, you know, sort of made up, I guess, force of evil. No, he's talking about he knows in person this evil one because he just got done defeating him, really, in the wilderness. And so the evil one, just to reiterate, is a created angel. And so I would say it like this. He's not even in the same league as God, the creator. Okay, we have to understand that. Too many people make the mistake that there's sort of this cosmic battle going on, and you got God on one side and you got the devil on the other side, and who will win? We don't know, because they're both really powerful. That is a lie, okay? God is the creator of everything, including the devil. So it's like they're not even in the same league. It's true that the devil is crafty, and the devil has great power, and the devil can bring great evil upon this earth. And it's also true that he does this underneath the umbrella of the sovereignty of God. How do those two things go together? I don't know. It's hard to understand. I do not know, but we do know this, that someday the devil will be fully defeated and done away with. And until that time, listen to some of the descriptions that the scripture gives us of the devil. He's called Satan, the devil, Apollyon, Beelzebul, the serpent, the angel of light, which is interesting, the dragon, a roaring lion, the ruler of this world, the prince of the kingdom of the air. You put all these things together, and we have a truly terrifying picture, not of just some vague force of evil that sort of floats around on this earth, but of an actual angel, the ruler and the leader of a host of lesser spirits called demons who are under his control. The evil one, scripture says, is the adversary. He's the arch enemy of God. And he's the archenemy of all that is good. He's crafty, he's a tempter, he's an accuser of the saints, he's the father of lies. And while certainly far beneath God the Creator, he is still very powerful. He's one that is described as the one who tries to destroy and devour us, believers. The good news is, with all this, is that God's children are given great power and great authority in the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:4, very familiar verse, says, "Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world." Meaning that since we have God in us, then we are greater in the sense that that we have the Spirit of God in us. According to 1 John 3:8, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So we need to be aware of the devil. At the same time, we don't need to fear him. We don't need to be terrified of him, because as I had a youth pastor who used to say this all the time, that we fight for the winning team. Like, we are on the side that's going to have victory ultimately. And we are on the side that's already, a victory has already been established through the death and resurrection of Jesus, our Savior. With that said, I do think we need to be aware that the evil one does exist and that they are active. The devil and the demons are active in this world. And so let's look at, and maybe a better way to say it, let's expose the activity of the evil one. Okay, so as we move forward this morning, let's expose the activity of the evil one. You guys know C.S. Lewis, he wrote a book called The Screwtape Letters. I don't know if anybody ever read that. It's basically a quick book about a conversation between two demons, and how the demons, they go back and forth, and how the demons actually are, what are they doing in the lives of human beings to try to trip them up, and specifically against believers, trying to keep them from serving and loving God. It's just a great book. It's fascinating how C.S. Lewis wrote it from that perspective. But in the preference to the Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis says this: "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors." In other words, evil spirits are active, but they are limited in power. We cannot ignore them, yet we cannot attribute to them more power than they have. Jesus simply stated in John 16:33, he said, "In this world you will have trouble." Why? Why will we have trouble? Because there's the evil one present on this earth. The devil and the demons have not yet been fully defeated. 1 Peter 5:8 says they are enemies out there seeking people to devour. Their only goal is to destroy every good work of God. That's why the devil exists. That's why the demons exist, to destroy the good works of God and the good people of God. And since we, people, are God's best work, we are the ones on the sixth day, he looked at us and he said, "It is very good." There's a verse in Colossians, I didn't write it down, but I can't remember exactly the reference, but it says that in Colossians that we are a masterpiece. We are God's creation in that sense, his masterpiece. We've been created in the image of Christ, and because of that, we must believe that the evil one is out to destroy us, because he's out to destroy all the good works of God. And since we're the best works of God, that means he's going to put special attention on believers. So here's some of the ways that the evil ones do this. They prevent people from understanding the gospel. And I have references for these that I can give you later if you're interested in them. They prevent people from understanding the gospel. They oppose God's people. They attack the church. They tempt people to sin. They thwart the spread of the gospel, try to prevent it. They do this through false teaching and false teachers, and they cause sickness, just to name a few of the ways that the evil ones are active. They love to terrorize and cripple God's people, and they do this through fear and anxiety and guilt. The evil one is called an accuser of the brothers and the sisters. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been literally crippled by fear? Have you ever doubted your salvation? Have you ever begun to believe that you're not worthy of a relationship with God? If so, then you've experienced an attack from the accuser. That's what he does. He's a liar and an accuser. And if he can get us to begin to believe that we're unworthy of God's favor, then he's trying to gain victory in a battle in our lives. Scripture calls that in Ephesians a foothold. It's trying to gain a place in our lives. But we have to know this, that the devil is a liar. He always has been, right from the beginning, the first time he ever comes on the scene, way back in Genesis chapter 3, Garden of Eden. He lied right then, and he's been doing it ever since then for thousands of years. When he accuses us, it's often to make us feel like we're too sinful or too unworthy or too much of a loser to be loved and completely forgiven by God. That's a lie. And how do we defeat lies? With truth. With truth. Let me read a very encouraging scripture to you, one that you've probably heard before. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And later on in that same chapter, he says, and if the Son sets you free, you are really free. You are truly free. And that's in John chapter 8. So let me ask you, who do you want to believe? You want to believe Jesus? Or do you want to believe the evil one? It's a crazy question when we ask it like that, right? It's duh, that's an obvious thing. But how much of our lives do we spend believing the lies of the evil one instead of believing the truth of Jesus? And if you're like me, we spend a significant amount of our time feeling guilty and fearful and ashamed of things we've done or things we're doing. And I'm not talking about conviction from the Holy Spirit. That's an important tool that the Holy Spirit uses in our lives. I'm talking about flat-out lies from the devil. The devil hates the truth. So here's the thing. The next time he comes around whispering in our ears some of his accusations and some of his lies about how horrible we are, we need to fight back. And we need to fight back with the truth. And we need to remember that the greatest truth that we've been given, and I say this over and over and over again, is the Scriptures, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God working in unity in our lives. That's how we will combat against the devil's lies. We will take the truth of Scripture, and we will take it through the power of the Holy Spirit, and both those things working in equal and perfect unity, we will drive away the evil one. When I was a teenager, second reference to my youth group, some 30 years ago, and I remember this specific, all these years later, I remember this. Our youth pastor, one day we were talking about something, I don't actually remember what exactly we were talking about, but I remember the illustration, and so he takes a dollar bill out of his pocket, and he holds a dollar bill up, and you may have heard this before. He says, there's people that their job is to discern true dollar bills from counterfeit dollar bills, right? How do they do that? Do they study the counterfeit dollar bills, or do they study the real dollar bills? And his point was they study the real, and they study the paper and the ink and where everything is placed, and they can feel it, and they can touch it, and they can smell it even, and they can look at it in the light and all these things, and they know the authentic dollar bills so well that when a counterfeit comes their way, they easily recognize it. And his point was, all these years ago, I remember this, his point was exactly what we're talking about today. It's okay to study up on the counterfeit. It's okay to study up a little bit on the lies that the devil wants to bring. It's okay to study up on the cults and those people that are distorting the truth of the true gospel. That's okay, but it's better, it's more important to study up on the real and to know the real so well that when the counterfeit comes our way, we go, no way, that's a lie. That's garbage. I'm not believing that. How do we do that? The Scripture and the Holy Spirit working perfect unity in our lives. And so when the truth, or when the counterfeit comes, excuse me, we will know the authentic, and we will discern it and confront it with the truth. Okay, so it's important to remember that we have deliverance from evil. So let's talk a little bit about this. Jesus said, deliver us from the evil one. If he taught us to pray this way, we better believe that it's possible. So how is it possible? Well, when we pray, deliver us from the evil one, we are exercising the authority that we have in Christ. And it's interesting to note here, it's interesting to me at least, and hopefully it will be to you, that the verb that Jesus used, well, I'll say this, the verb that the New Testament gives us here, the verb deliver, it's called an imperative middle voice. What does that mean? Let me explain real quick why this is important. It's imperative. You guys know what that is, right? That means it's a command, okay? It's not a suggestion. It's not just something we do if we get around to it. When a verb is imperative, it means that we do it. We're commanded to do it. Deliver. It's active command, okay? So that's important. But even more importantly here is that it's in the middle voice. The middle voice of a verb is interesting. It means that the subject, in this case, who's the subject of the sentence? Deliver us. The subject of the sentence both performs the action of the verb and receives the action of the verb. Now, if it was an active, it means that the subject would just do it alone. If it was passive, it means that the subject would just receive it. And if it was in one of those two things or the other, it'd be pretty clear, but it's not. It's in the middle voice. Means that we have an active role in deliverance and we have a passive role in deliverance. Do you see where I'm going? You see why this is important? Why do I bring it up? Certainly not to confuse anybody or to give a vocabulary lesson or a grammar lesson today. We say this just simply that being delivered from evil is both our responsibility and also it is a gift from God that we receive. We have a responsibility to stand firm against the devil and his schemes. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, and Paul will talk about that. And we won't talk about it today here, but you can read that on your own. So we have a responsibility to stand against the evil one, to use our authority to be clothed in the armor of God, to stand there with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and prayer as our weapons and stand against the devil and against his schemes. And yet we also have a promise that God is working on our behalf, and all we have to do is receive that. So it's one of these rare times, well, maybe not so rare, but it's one of these times in the New Testament that we both get to receive and we get to act and do. We take an active role in this deliverance. I would say that most believers understand and agree that the evil one is active. So everything we've talked about so far this morning, most of you are probably like, amen in that. I believe that there is an devil and demons. I believe that they are active. Scripture is very clear on that. And not only is Scripture clear, my experience probably is very clear. As I've lived my life, I've actually experienced some of this evil at work. And we've experienced it just last several months or weeks or even days, maybe this week. So most Christians would agree so far what we've been talking about, but we come now to a turning point really for where a lot of believers will begin to not necessarily understand their personal responsibility and authority to fight against the evil and the evil one and win. And this is because too many believers are too timid in our prayer and in dealing with the enemy. We too easily submit to his influence because we don't understand who we are in Christ. Remember last year we did a whole series on who we are in Christ, and we just looked at a few examples of that. At the end of church today, I made up these little bookmarks, and I want to put one in every one of your hands if you want one. It's just simply called Who I Am in Christ with, I think there's 60-something phrases right from Scripture. This is what the New Testament says we are, okay? The devil tries to tell us who we are, but this is what Jesus says we are. And again, who are we going to believe? So I'm going to put one of those in your hands if you want one. And you can have that after we get done here this morning. I think we too easily submit and give in to the devil because we don't understand our position in Christ. You've heard me refer to several times as we've gone through this, a book by Pete Gregg called, he's talking about prayer, A Simple Guide to Pray. And I would encourage you to pick that book up if you get a chance. I keep meaning to bring it so I can show you guys, but I forget. Pete Gregg is the name of the book, and I I think it's called How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Prayer, something to that degree. And he said this, and it was so good, I just blatantly stole it and put it right in my notes. I'll just admit it. I plagiarized it, but I don't. Hopefully he won't mind that I did that. He says this, and again, it's not his exact words, but it's his thoughts. I just wanted you guys to know that. Ephesians 2:6 tells us that God raised us up along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Okay, that's what Paul says in Ephesians 2:6. Pete Gregg made these comments. He said, they're just really excellent. He said, so in a sense, we have already been delivered from evil. Our future is secure. Yet for a time, while we physically live on this earth, on this planet, we're still in the fight. But the good news is that we fight from an elevated position because, you remember that? We fight from an elevated position because we have been raised up with Christ. And we have the high ground, and I've never been a soldier, and I've never been in a battle, but I've heard that the best place in a battle to be is the elevated ground. If you can get there, you have the advantage. And that's what Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:6. That we are seated with Christ in heaven, and so we can exercise our authority, not as creatures that wallow along the earth, but we can exercise our authority as people who have been elevated into heaven and who come at the enemy from that high and exalted position. Those are not my words. Those aren't even Pete Gregg's words. Those are the Holy Spirit's words as he wrote those in Scripture. We are highly lofted and elevated and seated with Christ. I know that vocabulary will make some of us uncomfortable because we don't want to be like, well, what does that mean? We're little Jesuses running around? Well, in a sense, no, of course not. We are not Jesus, but are we little Jesuses? We should be. That's what we're trying to be. All of 2020, we've been talking about how to be disciples of Jesus. And if we want to be like him, we better accept the things that he says about us are true. And quit just like going, well, I don't want to call myself Jesus. No, yeah, you do. That's what the Bible tells. That's what Jesus wants us to do. We want to be like him. And so we battle from that elevated position. And with all the authority and all the power that goes with that is ours because we are in Christ. Not because we have it, not because we're little gods, not because like some new age lie from the devil, but because we are in Christ, and Christ gives us that authority and that power, and he lives in us. His Spirit lives in us. Out of breath. Yeah, yeah.
That's a good word,
right? So we can pray, then, deliver us from the evil one with confidence, like those who reign with Christ. So deliverance can be ours. And let me just give us, as we close up here, well, I don't want to say that because we've probably got another hour left. No, a few more minutes. Hang in there. A few more minutes. Here we go. The fourth part of this is that we have a battle against the devil and against the demons. And when it comes to being delivered from the evil one, I said a minute ago that, yeah, we can and should sit and receive deliverance as the Father wants to give it to us, and that's amazing. But there's also another aspect of that, and that's where we actively, daily, that's why I say daily, take part in this deliverance. Just like we need daily bread, we need daily deliverance. And this phrase has been said so many times, and I tried to internet this and find out who said it. Nobody knows who made this phrase up. And I asked Pastor Dave, because he's the expert in all these kind of things, even though he wouldn't say it, he's a pro. And he didn't even know. He said he's heard this his whole life too. But here's the phrase, the believer, the Christian, is in a very real battle, and we're engaged on a three-front war, a three-front battle. We fight against the world and the flesh and the devil. Have you heard that phrase before? That's not in the Bible, okay? It's not what it's one of those things. I think some people think it's in the Bible. It's not. Somebody down the road invented it, but it's good. It's based upon Scripture. Last week, we briefly talked about the first two of those, the fight against the world and the flesh. We talked about, remember, the lust of the eyes, which basically is materialism. We see something, we want whatever that is, and so we want to go get it. We fight against lust of the flesh, which it can be a lot of things, but primarily I think it can be one of two things, anger and sexual temptation. And then we also fight against pride, which is honoring ourselves before we honor Jesus. But in addition to those things we talked about last week, the world and the flesh, there's also one more enemy, which we've been talking about today, and that's the evil one, the devil himself. And so we're engaged in this battle. And I think that ultimately the battle we face against the devil can be put into one of three very broad categories. Call them accusation, temptation, or deception. Those are the three very broad categories in which the devil, and I say that just to know, devil, if you're listening, that we acknowledge, that we know your tactics. If you go through Scripture and every time the devil showed up, it'll be one of those or all three of them put together. Accusation, temptation, and deception. Accusation means that he wants us to live in guilt and fear and despair. If he can accuse us and whisper in our ears and make us feel bad about ourselves, that's accusation. Temptation, we looked at last week, which is, you guys know what that means. Giving in to our desire for worldly and fleshly things. And then the third one, deception, is where he makes good things look bad or bad things look good, depending on where you're at, right? And he does it both ways, right? There's times where we see something and we know it's wrong, we know it's bad, and yet makes it look so good that we just want to go out and get it for ourselves. Or the opposite is equally true, especially in our culture in which we live in now. He makes good things look bad. So he makes living like a Christian look stupid. That's one of his tactics. Be aware of it. That's deception from the devil. Don't fall into that. Don't fall into that trap of you wanting to read the Bible and grow and pray and tell people about Jesus. And the world calls us stupid and uncool whatever name they want to call us. Don't fall into that. Those aren't those people telling you. That's the evil one speaking through them. It's a deception. So we need to daily stand against these enemies, and we need to pray, deliver us from the evil one. And we also need to actively battle, mentioned a minute ago, putting on the armor of God, taking up the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and praying powerfully and with authority in Jesus' name. It's Ephesians 6. Pastor Dave, not here this morning, he's not feeling well. Pray for him. He calls this keeping the radio on. If you've ever had a conversation with Dave, I don't know if he made that up or got that somewhere along his life, but that's what he calls it, keeping the radio on, which means that our lives are like a radio receiver, and we need to keep it on, meaning we need to be aware of, to catch these things we're talking about, the accusations and the temptations and the deceptions of the enemy. The radio picks up negative thoughts, physical things going on, negative emotions, which not always, but can be the enemy from time to time. So just be aware of that. Another way to say this, which we'll talk about right now, is the three R's. I call them recognize, refuse, and resist. Recognize, The enemy is at work, which is what we're doing this morning. We're recognizing the enemy. This is where spiritual discernment comes in. You know that spiritual discernment is a spiritual gift, but that doesn't mean that all believers should, whether or not you think you have that gift or not, it doesn't mean that all believers should not actively take part in that. So when we're accused by guilt or fear, when we're tempted to sin, when we're deceived into thinking or doing something bad, that we can be assured that the evil one is at work. We have to learn to recognize his influence because it's going to divert us from godly living. Secondly, the second R, we need to refuse to think about it. Refuse to think about it. Those evil thoughts he puts in our head or the temptation that he puts before us, we can't let fear, despair, guilt take us down. And I know that that's not easy. And we talked about it last week, and we'll say it again. Why is temptation so hard? Because it looks so good. Like if temptation didn't look good, it wouldn't affect us, right? But Eve gave in because it looked good to her. That's what he does. But we need to refuse it, even though it's not always easy. We need to battle like Jesus taught us to, with scripture in one hand and prayer in the other hand, if you will, both illuminated by the Spirit of truth. And then the third R is we need to resist him. That is, that's refusing like supersized, right? Resisting means a declaration that we're onto you, devil. We're onto your ways. We're onto your accusations and your temptations and your deceptions. We recognize those things for what they are, and we're not going to give in to them. Even if you have to say it out loud, out loud declaration against the devil. He declares to you, declare it back to him. And we're on pretty safe ground here. James 4:7 says, humble yourself before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him and be strong in the faith. The three R's, simple way to remember that. Recognize, refuse, resist. What's a lion's roar there? What's it supposed to do? What's it supposed to accomplish? Fear. Yeah. Intimidation. It's supposed to scare us. It's supposed to keep us cowering. But this lion is like a cub compared to the Lion of Judah, the one who has conquered all.
Amen.
Here's some final thoughts as we wrap this up for real this time. You guys are like, I got to get some takeout if he's going to go much longer. So I know we've talked about a lot today, and like I said a minute ago, it's really important, this stuff. It's important to be aware of it. And again, it's not important just so we gained knowledge this morning. It's important because the battle is very, very real. It's important because Jesus commanded us to pray, deliver us from the evil one. And so, but for those reasons, we want to put these things into practice in our everyday lives. Deliver us from the evil one. It means daily deliverance. We need it today. Maybe we're going to need it today more than we needed it yesterday, because now we got a little bit more understanding of his schemes. I'm not sure. But we're going to need it today. We're going to need it again tomorrow and the next day and the day after. We're not talking, now listen, with all this said, we're not talking about demon possession. That's a very unfortunate phrase that has slipped into our culture because of movies and misconceptions about what the Bible teaches. We're not talking about demon possession in the sense of the demons can take full control of us and like we have no ability to do anything. We're just sort of zombies. you know, with our heads spinning. You know, all the horror movies, whatever, how they depict it, bunch of garbage and lies. We're not talking about demon possession. What we are talking about is, and what Paul talks about in Ephesians is that sometimes the devil can have a foothold in our lives, a place in our lives, meaning that he can touch us with one of his lies or is one of his deceptions or one of his temptations. And when that happens, we're talking about that we can have recognize it and we can have victory over it, because we can have victory over the evil one on an ongoing basis. That's why we need to daily pray, deliver us from the evil one. What are some of the areas that we can get victory over? Fear, despair, guilt, sexual temptation, self-righteousness, idolatry, materialism. Any of those things, any of those things hit in your heart this morning? You need deliverance from any of those things? If you do, congratulations. There can be victory for you. As normal human beings, you know, we get hit with those things from time to time. And as believers, the battle doesn't lessen. In fact, it gets harder. And the closer we get to glory, the closer we get to the presence of God, the harder the battle is going to become. Because if we're just nominal, like sort of mundane, everyday believers, and our lives really don't look that much different than all unbelievers, the devil is just going to leave us alone because he's already sort of gaining victory in our lives. But if we're pursuing Christ-likeness, if we're understanding who we are in Christ, if we want to be a closer, better disciple of Jesus, if we want to put on the armor daily and to stand against the devil and his schemes, well, then he's gonna come at us. And his attacks are going to be more forceful, not less forceful. But the important thing for us to remember is we don't need to be scared. We don't need to cower at that little baby lion cub's voice and roar. We can be totally delivered from the evil one, and we will be totally delivered from the evil one when Jesus comes a second time. Until then, until Satan's reign is put to an end forever, and until his final destruction comes, we need to remember that oft-quoted phrase, the next time the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Have you ever heard that one? We are in Christ. We are seated in the heavens with him, and we need to battle from that elevated position with all the authority that comes from being in Christ. And if you need help with that, so do I. I need your help. You need my help. We need each other. And most importantly, we need God's help. And don't ever think you're on your own in this. Don't ever think you're the only one that ever experienced whatever it is you're experiencing. That's just not true. That's why the church is so important. That's why meeting together is so important. That's why Bible studies are important. Continue to equip ourselves with the truth and stand against the lies of the devil. And if you need help with that, you need to talk to somebody, you need to pray with somebody about that, I encourage you, do it today, right now. Don't let this moment slip away before you get out the door. Do it today before you leave. And if you can't make it happen before you leave today, as soon as you can. Okay, so we got one more song. I don't know who's... Virginia is. If you want to have one of these, two bookmarks, two sizes. I mean, they're the same bookmark, just two different sizes. So one's got a little bit bigger font, although it's neither one of them are very big, and a bunch of different colors. So if you want one of these, just come and grab one. Maybe while we're singing the song or right after. I'm just going to leave them up here. Those are for you guys, just to remind us who we are in Christ. I have one in my Bible, And after every day, I'll just read a couple of them and just kind of remind my, I need a daily reminder of that as well. So let me pray for us and we'll sing one more song. Father, you are good. You are good. You've taught us to pray this morning. Deliver us from the evil one. And so we're thankful that that's possible. We're thankful that deliverance is a thing. It's a reality. And so we pray that this morning. I pray it for myself. I pray it for everyone here that's hearing this. I pray for everyone at home watching on Facebook that you'll deliver us from the evil one at this moment right now. Whether it's fear, guilt, temptation in some way, idolatry, materialism, whatever thing we're struggling with, this morning we pray that you will deliver us in the mighty name of Jesus. We come from a position of authority and power because we are seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And so we come from that position and we would plead with you, Father, deliver us from the evil one today. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen.